विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्तर श्री श्रीमद हिस्ट डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्तर श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवती गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधाखंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगामय यमुनामय की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की समवेत भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरुवन गौरंग, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो नंबर 3 चैप्टर 21 वर्स नंबर 32। I would only request like only two Prabhus and two Matajis to repeat because I have a lot to cover and I want to make sure that I end it on time. Sahaham Swam Shakalaya, Sahaham Swam Shakalaya, Tvadvirena Mahamune, त्वद्वीर्येण महामुने तवा क्षेत्रे देवहूत्याम्, तवा क्षेत्रे देवहूत्याम् प्रणेष्ये तत्त्वसंहिताम्, प्रणेष्ये तत्त्वसंहिताम् सहाहं स्वांशकलया त्वद्वीर्येण महामुने तवा क्षेत्रे देवहूत्यम् प्रणेष्ये तत्त्वसंहिताम्। तवा क्षेत्रे देवहूत्याम् प्रणेष्ये तत्त्वसंहिताम्। माताजी सहाहं स्वांशकलयम् त्वद्वीर्येण महामुने तवा क्षेत्रे देवहूत्यम् प्रणेष्ये तत्त्वसंहिताम्। सहाहं स्वांशकलया त्वद्वीर्येण महामुने तवाक्षेत्रे देवहूत्यम् प्रणिशे तत्त्वसंहितम् सहा वित् अहम् ऐ स्वअंशकलया मै ओन् प्लीनरी पोर्शन् त्वत्वीर्येण बै युअर् सीमेन् महामुने ओ ग्रेट् सेज् तव क्षेत्रे इन् युर् वैफ् देवहूत्याम् इन् देवहूति प्रणेशे ऐ शल् इन्स्ट्रक्ट् तत्त्वा आफ् दि अल्टिमेट् प्रिन्सिपल्स् संहिताम् the doctrine translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai translation O great sage I shall manifest my own plenary portion through your wife Devahuti along with your nine daughters and I shall instruct her in the system of philosophy that deals with the ultimate principles or categories purport here in the word Swamshakalaya indicates that the Lord would appear as the son of Devahuti and Kardama Muni as Kapila Deva, the first propounder of Sankhya philosophy, which is mentioned here as Tattva Samhita. The Lord foretold to Kardama Muni that he would appear in his incarnation Kapila Deva and would propagate the philosophy of Sankhya. Sankhya philosophy is well known in the world as propagated by another Kapila Deva, but that Sankhya philosophy is different from the Sankhya which was propounded by the Lord himself. There are two kinds of Sankhya philosophy. One is godless Sankhya philosophy and other is godly Sankhya philosophy. The Sankhya propagated by Kapila Deva, the son of Devahuti, is godly philosophy. There are different manifestations of the Lord. He is one, but he has become many. He divides himself into two different expansions, one called Kala and other Vibhinnamsha. Ordinary living entities are called Vibhinnamsha expansions and the unlimited expansions of Vishnu Tattva, such as Vamana, Govinda, Narayana, Pradyumna, Vasudeva and Ananta are called Swamsha Kala. Swamsha refers to a direct expansion and Kala denotes an expansion from the expansion of the original Lord. Baladeva is an expansion of Krishna and from Baladeva the next expansion is Sankarsana and thus Sankarsana is Kala but Baladeva is Swamsha. There is no difference, however, among them. This is very nicely explained in the Brahma Samhita. Diparchir evahi dashantaram abhyupetya. With one candle one may light a second candle, with the second a third and then a fourth, and in this way one can light up thousands of candles, and no candle is inferior to another in distributing light. Every candle has the same candle power, but there is still the distinction that one candle is the first and this another the second, another the third and another the fourth. Similarly, there is no difference between the immediate expansion of the Lord and his secondary expansion. The Lord's names are considered in exactly the same way. Since the Lord is absolute, his name, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia and his qualities all have the same potency. In the absolute world, the name Krishna is transcendental sound, representation of the Lord. There is no difference in the potency between his quality, name, form, etc. If we chant the name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, that has as much potency as the Lord himself. There is no difference in potency between the form of the Lord from whom we worship and the form of the Lord in the temple. One should not think that one is worshipping a doll or a statue of the Lord, even if others consider it to be a statue, because there is no difference in potency. One gets the same result by worshipping the statue of the Lord or the Lord Himself. This is the signs of Krishna consciousness. The sense of purport. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Ajnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ulmitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So welcome everyone for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. So here, Prabhupada in the purport, he kind of discusses many points. So first there is a discussion about atheistic and atheistic Kapila, and also about theistic and atheistic Sankhya philosophy, which is propounded by, you know, each one of them. And then also there is a discussion about the different manifestations of the Lord, that Kala and Vibhinnamsha, expansions of the Lord. And also in the last paragraph, Prabhupada discusses about the Lord's absolute potency, how His name, form, you know, qualities, they are kind of non-different. So we will discuss all these points briefly today. So, you know, we hear this many times about, whenever we hear about Sankhya philosophy and Kapila, we always mention about atheistic Kapila and theistic Kapila. There is an atheistic Sankhya philosophy and a theistic Sankhya philosophy. Correct? So now, of course, now if the question is that, who is this atheistic Kapila? And what is his philosophy? And how is it different from the philosophy, the Sankhya philosophy, which is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Because whenever, you know, we discuss about something, at least we need to know whom we are talking about and what he's talking about, right? Otherwise, we are talking about somebody whom we don't know, and when we are trying to refute a philosophy which we don't understand. So, again, but of course, Prabhupada in his purports mentions in various places about the atheistic Sankhya philosophy, which is different from the theistic Sankhya philosophy. However, the problem is that it's kind of spread out in many locations. You know, the philosophy of Sankhya, you know, Krishna talks about Sankhya philosophy in the second chapter, where he talks about differentiating soul and the body. And there's also the Sankhya philosophy is discussed towards the end, six chapters, where Krishna talks about the three modes of nature, the Purusha and Prakriti. And again, we also find Sankhya philosophy in the third canto. And again, we find Sankhya philosophy in the 11th canto. And there are also some locations in Chaitanya Charitamrita also where we find this Sankhya philosophy discussed. So we see the Sankhya philosophy like kind of spread everywhere. And Prabhupada makes various points in different locations. So what I have done today is that I try to kind of collect all those points and try to kind of systematize it in like one place, so we kind of get an overall understanding of what is this theistic Sankhya philosophy and how is it different from the atheistic Sankhya philosophy. So to begin with, the Lord Kapila, we all know, he is basically the son of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. And the atheistic Kapila is basically, he is the descendant of the dynasty of Agni. And he is one of the conditioned souls. So that is, that is the atheistic Kapila. Prabhupada mentioned this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 6:14 and 15. And in the same purport, he mentions, in the doctrine of atheistic Kapila, there are many statements directly against the Vedic principles. The atheistic Kapila does not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says that the living entity is himself the Supreme Lord and that no one is greater than him. His conceptions of so-called conditioned and liberated life are materialistic, and he refuses to accept the importance of immortal time all such statements are against the principles of Vedanta Sutras. So this is where Prabhupada mentions about who this atheistic Kapila is and what is his doctrine and how is it different from the theistic Sankhya philosophy. And when we speak of Sankhya, actually there are many topics which are covered under the Sankhya. So for today's discussion, what I have done is that I have classified them into five types. This is all Sankhya talks about. And you know, in different places we find different topics being discussed. Again, this is just my way of classifying things. If I miss anything, please let me know. So first, the Sankhya talks about Purusha and Prakriti, and it also talks about the creation of the universe, how the creation happened. That's also one of the contribution of Sankhya. And also, it also talks about the explanation of different tattvas. There are like 24 different tattvas. The Sankhya kind of elaborates on each and every tattva. And it also talks about the interaction of three modes of nature, especially in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, we find the three modes of nature towards the end. And it also talks about the cause and effect principles. So these are some of the things which Sankhya talks about. And when we mention about the atheistic Sankhya and theistic Sankhya, so basically the way how atheistic and theistic Sankhya is different is that basically when it comes to explaining the Purusha and Prakriti, the atheistic Sankhya basically it says that Prakriti is the cause of all the causes. And because that's how the creation started, right? It starts from Prakriti, and from Prakriti you have Mahatattva, and so on and so forth. So the atheistic Sankhya kind of emphasizes more on the Prakriti aspect, and he says that basically this Pradhana is the cause of all causes. But whereas in the theistic Sankhya, which is propounded by Lord Kapila, over there he mentions that no, it is not the Prakriti which is the cause, but it is actually the Purusha which is the cause of all causes. So that is the main difference. But the other four, which is explanation about creation of universe or explanation of tattvas or interaction of modes of nature, three modes of nature, or the effect, or explaining the cause and effect principle, they are exactly the same. There is no much difference. The only thing which kind of differs is the explaining when it comes to the explanation of Purusha and Prakriti. So this is something like a modern science, like a Big Bang theory, where it says that it all came from matter, right? Consciousness came from the matter. It all, Big Bang is the cause of all the creation. So Sankhya is also, the atheistic Sankhya is also trying to say the more or less the same thing. It's all Prakriti. That's how the creation has happened. Little bit more discussion about this. So the atheistic Sankhya, basically it says that the creation manifested from Pradhana, and hence it is a highest cause. But whereas in the theistic Sankhya, it says that it is not the Pradhana, but actually it is a Purusha, which is a cause of creation. Because for anything to happen, for any creation to happen, there has to be like a sentient person. Like a living entity, a person who can think and who has intelligence, right? That is a sentient being. So that is why for any cause we need to have two things. We need to have efficient cause and material cause, and that is only possible by a sentient being. And on the other hand, the Pradhana, the nature, is inert. There is no consciousness in the matter. So when there is no consciousness in the matter, then how can matter be the cause of creation? So that is how the theistic Sankhya refutes the atheistic Sankhya by saying that it's basically the Purusha, not the Prakriti, which is the cause of creation. Again, in one of my previous classes I have mentioned how atheistic Sankhya tries to explain the Purusha and Prakriti. But of course, this is very interesting that even though it is atheistic, but it does not deny that there is Purusha. It does not deny that there is God, but it just kind of undermines the role of God. And this is also explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila. Maya yacche dui amsha, nimitta upadana, maya nimitta hetu, upadana pradana, purusha ishvara aichadvi, murti ha iya, vishvakshrishti kare nimitta upadana lana. Just as the external energy consists of two parts, the efficient cause nimitta and material cause upadana, maya being the efficient cause and pradana the material cause, so the Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes two forms to create the material world with efficient and material causes. So this underlying statement, so that is where the conclusion comes that ultimately it is the Lord Vishnu, you know, who is the cause of all causes. So in this way, there are five more topics. There are five topics which Sankhya covers. I just discussed one, but I don't think we have time to cover all five in this class. Of course, the other one is the creation of universe. We have already discussed in the previous chapters how, you know, Brahma is creating, right? And we also will also come about, discuss about the explanation of different tattvas, the 24 elements in the upcoming chapters. And the interaction of three modes. Actually, Bhagavad Gita talks a lot about the three modes of nature in the end six chapters. So what I want to actually focus today, or which is actually very less discussed, but actually it's a very important principle of Sankhya, is explanation of cause and effect. The other name for it given is Satkaryavada. So this is very important, because even though we may not be aware of it, but actually we use the principle in lot of, Prabhupada uses the principle in lot of, in purports and, in many locations while explaining the Lord's potencies. Even in the current purport also, he kind of uses that principle of this cause and effect. So to put it simply, it's a very big subject, but I try to just simplify it as much as I can. So what it says is that basically the cause and effect are the same. The effect is always present in the cause, and the cause is always present in the effect. And whenever the effect manifests, the cause is not destroyed. That is because what is non-existing, it cannot be produced, and a specific cause produces specific effects, and the real cause produces real effects. So this is the explanation of the cause and effect, or also called a Satkaryavad, which is given in the Sankhya philosophy. And this cause and effect is actually accepted in Srimad Bhagavatam. In many places, especially in the 11th canto, we can find many verses explaining this explanation of cause and effect, where it says how the cause and effect are actually the same. They are not different. And in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse number 10, in the purport, Prabhupada, writes here, the Vedic hymns, sarvam hi etat brahma, tasmad etat brahma nam, rupam annam cha jayet. And in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, mama yonir mahat brahma, indicate that everything in the material world is a manifestation of Brahman, and although effects are differently manifested, they are non-different from the cause. So this is where exactly Krishna, Prabhupada mentions how the effect is actually non-different from the cause. That is actually one of the core principles of Sankhya philosophy, how the effect and cause are non-different. In the Ishopanishad, it is stated that everything is related to the Supreme Brahman or Krishna, and thus everything belongs to him only. One who knows perfectly well that everything belongs to Krishna, that he is the proprietor of everything, and therefore everything is engaged in the service of the Lord, naturally has nothing to do with the results of the activities, whether virtuous or sinful. So now this is one place where Prabhupada uses the principles of Sankhya to explain the cause and effect. And of course there are many more statements which can be made using this principle of Sankhya, that is why when we say, one example is that, let's say, when we say that this world is not illusion, but this is real, it's just a temporary manifestation. Again, the reason why we use there is also this principle of Sankhya, because a real effect, a real cause produces a real effect. That is a principle of Sankhya. That is why, because this material world is a manifestation of Brahman, but because Brahman is real, that means that this Jagat should also be real. So that is one more point which is made using this principle of Sankhya. And the other point is that, because when there is effect, the cause is not destroyed. So that is why the Purusha is not destroyed when the Prakriti manifests. Although everything is a mixture of Purusha and Prakriti. Yavar Sanjayate Kinchit, right? That verse we all know, that everything is just a mixture of Purusha and Prakriti. But just because the Prakriti has manifested, that does not mean that the Purusha is destroyed. So, the cause is not destroyed when there is an effect. And in the today's purport also, Prabhupada makes a point that every candle has full candle power. When there is still, but there is still distinction that one candle is the first, and other the second, and other the third, and another the fourth. Similarly, there is no difference between the immediate expansion of the Lord and His secondary expansion. This is also actually using the principle of Sankhya, where when there is an effect, it is not destroying the cause, but and it's at the same time, every candle is like having the full potency. It's not that one candle is, you know, less than the other candle. No, it's not like that. So that is actually one of the principles of Sankhya, Satkaryavad, where it says how the cause and effect are same, and the cause is not destroyed when the effect manifests. And moving on, now what are the advantages of studying the Sankhya philosophy? Right? I mean, this is all like nice to hear, but how does it really help us, you know, being devotees and practicing sadhakas? How does it really, help us? So before discussing the benefits of studying the Sankhya philosophy, first of all, let me discuss about what is the aim of Sankhya. This is mentioned in the fifth chapter, one of the purports. The aim of analytical study of the material world is to find the soul of existence. The soul of material world is Vishnu or the super soul. Devotional service to the Lord entails service to the super soul. One process is to find the root of the tree and other is to water the root. You see here, the one process is to find the root of the tree. That means basically it is referring to the process of jnana, means analytical study, you know, through philosophical speculation, trying to understand who is the origin of the universe. And other is to water the root. So that basically talks about the process of devotional service, means direct devotional service. So one process is to find the root of the tree and other is to water the root. So this Sankhya is basically trying to find the root of the tree. The real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root of the material world, Vishnu, and then in perfect knowledge engages himself in the service of Lord. So ultimately, this knowledge is nothing but it is meant to ultimately, you know, lead us to the devotional service, right? That is the yoga ladder. You have karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. It all ultimately, it's meant to reach to the ultimate perfection, which is bhakti yoga. And the Sankhya basically helps us in trying, you know, in giving us a proper understanding how to understand this analytical knowledge, which ultimately leads to the bhakti yoga. Actually, that is the subject matter of every philosophy. If you see every philosophy, the objective is that is to differentiate the matter and the spirit. Right? That is why in Prabhupada, once he was in a university, and when he went there, the first question he asked is that, where is the department which studies the difference between the dead body and the living body? So that is a true purpose for any philosophy, to differentiate the matter and spirit. And now one may ask, okay, I mean, what is the use? Like, okay, now I study all these things, I spend so much of my time, effort and energy and trying to differentiate the matter and spirit, but how does it really help me? Right? So, that is why the next thing which all the philosophical endeavors is basically to remove the suffering. Right? That is why even the modern science, the reason why people get educated is that, right? Because you get a job, so you get money, so that you can, you know, be happy. So the same thing with the philosophy too. The reason why we do all this philosophical research, you know, try to understand all these things, acquire knowledge, is ultimately the same. Just to acquire happiness, nothing more than that. Sukham me sarvat bhuya, dukham me mahabhut kadachan. To always remain happy and to avoid misery at all time. And even in Srimad Bhagavatam also, we, you know, in the second verse, it starts by saying that Vedyam vastava atra shivadam tapatrayo mulanam. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. So this is how it is. I mean, if you see any philosophy, either Sankhya or, you know, Nyaya or, you know, Yoga or, you know, any philosophy, there are two things which are common. The first thing is that every philosophy is trying to differentiate what is the difference between a matter and spirit, consciousness and inert matter. And the second thing is that it is trying to remove the suffering. This is common for everything. But of course, in the Bhakti Yoga, you're not just trying to remove the suffering, but also, you know, you realize the Lord and also, you know, perform the devotional service. That is there. But the foundation is this. The foundation is differentiate the matter and spirit and remove the threefold sufferings. Now, but let me ask you frankly, when someone tells, or let's say when we go and tell to somebody that actually you are suffering, how many people do really agree that they are really suffering? Right? Not many people agree. They feel that actually they are fine. Like, just forget about others. Like, let's think about ourselves. How many of us really think that we are suffering? Okay, I mean, unless when you are having some pain or some financial problems. But it's not that every day we feel that, oh, we are really suffering. So, and when we go out also, when you say, that is why, you know, when Gaurang Prabhu, he was telling, he was giving a class in a very, you know, rich family. And in the class, he was talking about, oh, material world is suffering, there is no happiness here. And at the end of the class, everybody thought that maybe this Prabhuji is frustrated, I think so. I mean, because why is he talking so much? We don't feel any suffering, we are happy. So why we are so much bombarding that, oh, you are suffering, when people are not really realizing that they are suffering. They feel that they are fine, they are happy. So I would like to explore some of the reasons why people don't realize that they are suffering. Okay, these are some of the reasons which I came up with, but there could be many more. So the first thing is that actually, even for a person to understand that he is suffering, he should have little bit intelligence. Right? Only an intelligent person can actually understand that he is suffering. And the reason why people don't realize it is just because of simple ignorance. Nothing more than that. Right? And again, this is my way of explaining things. Like, there is natural ignorance and there is forced ignorance. I mean, this is... Like, for example, this is just a funny example. Like, but, you know, whenever a new employee joins our company, right? Sometimes we see that guy, he'll be wearing more expensive dress than the boss himself. Right? This guy, he'll be making like $20 or $30 per hour. The boss is making like $200, $300 per hour. But this guy will come in, you know, more expensive clothes than the boss. Because now he thinks that now I'm earning money, now I'm rich, now I can buy whatever I want to buy. Right? And that's why, you know, it's ignorance. But he doesn't know. But he thinks that he's rich, but actually he's not rich. But this boss, actually he knows, you know, he might have calculated how much does it cost for my rent, how much for my gas, how much for the car, how much for my retirement, how much for my savings. And then actually one will realize that actually I'm not rich, I'm very poor. That is what Sankhya is doing. See, we are telling that you are a conditioned soul. But what Sankhya is trying to tell you is that actually how much you are conditioned, I'm going to calculate. That is what Sankhya is doing. Sankhya means calculation. So, yeah, we can say you are conditioned soul, but how deeply we are conditioned, that is what Sankhya is trying to explain. Because people doesn't really know how deeply they are conditioned. That is why Sankhya is helpful. That is called natural ignorance, because that guy is just poor guy. He doesn't know. He'll realize it eventually. That is why people move out of California, right? They go to Texas because they realize that, you know, California is expensive to live. Then why didn't they move? Why did they come to California in the first place? They should have never come to California. They should have always stayed in Texas. Because ignorant, they didn't know it. Now they know. So now they want to move a career change. And the other ignorance is that it's a forced ignorance. Forced ignorance. What is forced ignorance? You know, when I was doing my master's degree in Texas, we used to do a book distribution in front of library. And you know, we used to have both Westerners and Indians used to come and, you know, we used to try to distribute books. And sometimes when we come across the Indian students and when we invite them for, you know, take a book or, you know, come to a class, they doesn't even want to spend any time listening to what we are trying to, what we want to say him. I mean, they know what we are saying. They know exactly what is Bhagavad Gita. They know what we are going to say in the class and they want to ignore it. The reason is because now they came to the US. So now is a chance for them to enjoy. Right? Now is the chance for them to, you know, do illicit sex or, you know, take drugs. And they know these are bad things and it is never allowed in India, but now they are free. And they don't want to hear this. Even though they know it, but they, ignorance is bliss. They want to force themselves that, no, this is good. Right? So that is why people think, even though they are suffering, but they want to, you know, think that they are actually happy. That's like a forced ignorance. Right? And the second thing is accepting suffering as happiness. This is very interesting. Actually, people are so conditioned for suffering that they even change the definition of happiness. Right? Like, for example, I know a businessman. Business means problems. Every day you have to deal with problems. That is business, right? So this guy is so used to dealing with problems every day. At one point of time, actually he likes dealing there with the problems. He loves dealing with the problems. And that is actually gives him joy. And when there is no problem, he will think that something is wrong with my life. Because unless there is a problem, then okay, now my life is happy. So in this way, people change the definition of happiness and they actually think that suffering is actually the real happiness. And if you give him peaceful life, he'll become so restless. Or what is this? I mean, I want to have some challenges in my life. And the other thing is that, okay, now if you tell me that I'm suffering, but what is a positive alternative? Right? If you don't offer a positive alternative and all you just say is that my life is miserable, that will make me even more depressed. So, I will be happy with whatever I have. So, in this way, even though people are suffering, but they don't want to realize it, or they don't understand it, or they don't want to understand that actually they are suffering. And they want to be convinced that they are actually happy. And that is actually one of the potency of Maya. Avarnatmika Shakti and Pratyapakshika Shakti. Avarnatmika means you will be forgetful of what you are, and Pratyapakshika means it will project your false reality that this is what it is. That's what, right? A hog is happy eating the stool. But the hog doesn't realize that how pathetic its life is. But if the hog realizes how pathetic its life is, then it cannot really eat anything, it's going to die. That means hog has to feel happy in whichever state it is living. So that is one of the potency of Maya. So in this way, the Sankhya is helpful. Basically, it will break down all the conditions of the living entity. So that is the benefits of studying Sankhya. Okay? So now today is a special day. There are many important, you know, events today. Today is Vasanta Panchami, which is the first day of spring season. And today is also the appearance day of Srimati Vishnupriya, who is the wife of Lord Chaitanya. And also today is disappearance of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now he is actually coming in the line of Narottam Das Thakur, and Prabhupada actually in many of his purports he refers to the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And also today is appearance of Pundarika Vidyanidhi. You know, we all know that actually he is in the Krishna Leela, he is actually the father of Srimati Radharani. And today is also appearance of Raghu Nandana Thakur. So Raghu Nandana Thakur is actually the son of Mukunda Das. And today is also appearance of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the seven Goswamis. And so of course Raghunath Das Goswami, he is the epitome of renunciation. Even though he is coming from a rich family, but after associating with Lord Chaitanya, he renounced, and you know, and Lord Chaitanya was very much pleased with, you know, to the level of renouncement he used to practice. And today is also Saraswati Puja. Saraswati Puja is usually done on the Vasanta Panchami day. So in this way, today is a very auspicious day. Yeah, thank you very much. Anyone has any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which you showed. It's Adi 6, 14 and 15.
Yes.
So it says, Maya has two forms.
I can repeat the question. Yeah.
Maya has two forms. So what are these forms actually? Can you explain a little bit? And it says also the Supreme Personality of Godhead also has two forms, which are real, which are obviously related to these two forms of material energy. So do you know what are these forms?
Yes. So this Maya, basically when it is talking about two forms here, it is basically talking about Gunamaya and Jivamaya. So Gunamaya is basically the material cause, and Jivamaya is a efficient cause. And when it is talking about Vishnu has a two forms, basically he is talking about here the Paramatma feature and the Bhagavan feature. Because the it's basically the Paramatma feature which is involved in the process of creation. It is not the Bhagavan, it is a Paramatma feature which is involved in the process of creation. And this Paramatma feature endowed with these two potencies of this Jivamaya and Gunamaya is actually creating this universe. Yeah, that's a little bit more technical, but yeah, those are the two things of Maya and those are the two forms of Vishnu. Any question? Any other questions? Thank you. Thank you very much. Nirantar Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.